morning, everybody. And I feel really honored to be here again. Just bring this on this side.
To speak with you about one of my favorite topics. The tarot was just like everyone sitting on this side and a few on that side. That's kind of interesting. What I'm going to do is just talk to you for a little bit, and then I'm going to work through some of the symbology, and that will include you. But that's all right. So
yes, please.
Some of you, you'll all go away with a little bit of something. I began my tarot journey at the age of 20. And now that I'm getting close to 70, that's a long time ago. So in those years, I have gone on and learned a great deal of many other modalities that I utilize, but I still do my psychic readings with tarot. I still teach it. In fact, I have another class starting at the end of this month, which I'll tell you about at the end, because I love it. I love what it says, I love what it does, and when I'm down and feeling like the world is, you know, collapsed all around me, I can do a reading for myself, and it'll tell me exactly what I need to do to get myself out of the slump I'm in. And that's why I love it. I just want to explain a little bit. When I say I started at 20, I started teaching with a gentleman by the name of William Balderstone, who was a British medium. And I won't bore you with this long story of how he got to teach tarot. But he came out with a brand new way of reading it compared to the way. So it's not a fortune-telling way in the sense of predicting a whole part of events. It was designed more as where you are and what you can do in relation to your life. And that is what I built my career on. And of all of us that studied, I went on to be the one that wrote the books and did all those kind of things more than the others. But now people copy my books, and I get invited to conferences and things like that because I have a different perspective. And not that any of the other perspectives are incorrect, it's just a path that you take. And I often think that the saying, there are many roads to the top of the mountain. And I was just fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time, as which has happened many times in my life, to learn this technique of reading, which I could do for myself, I could do for others. And more importantly, gave me a philosophy of life that has held me in great stead. Over the years, as I learned many, many other things, as I've said, I would come back to the tarot and say, okay, where is this here? And invariably, I would find it. Now, the interesting, just a little bit of history, I still use the Rider, what they call today, the Rider-Waite deck, or the Universal deck, pictures, mythology that's in that. Now, it's created over 100 years ago. It was created by two people, Arthur Edward White, and the artist was Pamela Coleman Smith, which unfortunately was very discarded because she was a female and died penniless. But she did all the pictures, and if you look at them, they depict life. If you can, some of the people have connected with some of the little bit of Christian mythology in there. It's not a huge amount, but there it is there. And if you look at that and look at it as a psychological element of life, the spiritual journey that you're going on, so that you understand the steps that you need to take in relation to your life. Now, one of the things people come, why do they come for readings? I'm just going to sort of branch off a minute here. Why do people come for readings? They come for many, many different reasons. Unfortunately, I've been reading for a long time, and I have a clientele all over the world now. And it's great, I can sit here in between the farm, and now Skype is here. I can get to speak to people all over. It's great that way, too. They get to see me face to face. But it's like, what can we do? What people often don't understand is that everyone creates their vibrational rate. Now, I'm not going to bring some astrology into it, but there's a pattern very often of what you're going to learn and experience. And I have a saying that my students get tired of me hearing from me, because I say, it is not the event that is important, it is how you handle that event. Because how you handle the event will determine the vibrational rate that you are on, that will determine what is going to happen to you in the future. And that's how I read. I look at your pattern. I look to see where you're going. I look to see what's happening. And then I tell you what you can do to change it. Now, what I've learned is that most people don't bother changing, so I also give them other elements to help them when they go and do the things that perhaps they would be better not doing. But I'm guilty of that too. Do I listen to my own advice? Not always, because I want to do something because I want to do it. And so consequently, you pay the consequence for that. I go, oh, dash it all. That really was right. I really wanted that result. And I got this result. And that's the key, is that we're able to go into your vibrational rate. We can see the direction you're going in. We can see the pitfalls. And the good thing also, we can also take a look at anybody. Lynn and I were talking earlier, saying all we need is a name, and for me, an age as well. And it doesn't matter where they are in the world. We can tune in. Do I do that normally? No. But if somebody wants to know about somebody, yes. So it's like, what are the answers that you want to get? What are the answers that you want to create? I just have learned now that if a person is really set on a path that you know is not for their highest and best, I support them and help them as much as I can. But I love the ones that I get the letters back saying, thank you. I was able to change this. I was able to change that. I was able to do this. Those are the ones that make my heart sing. Because those are the ones I know that I have been a real benefit to be able to take what I've known, share it with somebody, and then they've gone on and made their lives so much more. I'm going to ask right now, I'm going to close this part up, is there any questions in here about having readings, not only with me, but generally, having readings or what you want to know about a person going for a reading? Because if not, I'm going to close this chapter. There's a lot more to do. Okay, we're good. You can always come up and talk to me after, not a problem. The tarot itself is broken down into two parts. The higher arcana meaning secret, there are 22 of them, 22 symbols. Those tell you, as far as I'm concerned, the spiritual journey that you're on. They tell you what are the laws and the lessons of life. They show you and tell you how, what, when, where. Now, I'm going to just mention here, when I teach my students, I always say to them not to memorize the whole pile of stuff because you're coming from your mind. What you want to know is how you, what that symbol is saying to you. And so therefore you use where your eye goes. That's what I teach them. Where does your eye go? What does that tell you? And how does that symbol, for instance, meet with the next one? Now, just to come back for a second, there's 56 other symbology, breaks down into four suits. And so the wand, which we're going to see in a second, wands, cups, swords, and pentacles, depicting your day-to-day routine of life. Wands, how you think. Cups, how you feel. Swords, the problems and how you're responding. Pentacles, material affairs, the money affairs. But also energy. What are you doing with it? In the material. We live in a material world. Mind you, I didn't for a long time. But I do now. I'm being brought to that point. Anyway, Lynn is going to help me here by putting up the first symbol of the higher arcana. Oh, I forgot. There's something I was going to do first of all, which is... it's aging. What I want to do today is to relate these to you. So I'm a great believer in having goals at the beginning of the year. So I want you to pick something. Could be anything that you would like to create for yourself this year. And put your hand up high so I can see it when you've got something. So I'll make sure everyone's going to play, because I want everyone to play with me. Fine, think of something. Most of you have got something. A couple of you haven't. And you know, while they're sitting making up their minds and putting their hands up, I'll tell you why I make sure I say put your hands up high. When you're doing a general, and this is for any speaker you go to see, and they say, ask your hand up, and a lot of people put them here, we can't see them. Plus, it also means you're not committed.
That's true.
You're not committed. Oh, I think I might want this one. Yeah, that'll do. Well, the odds are you're not going to get it if it's down here. So you might put your hand, you know, when you go, I don't know, it was funny because I teach this all the time in groups, especially when I'm speaking to large crowds, and I'll ask a question, and I'm going, come on, you, and I do this little talk about commitment, and et cetera. And I was recent, well, maybe a couple of years ago, I was in a workshop, and they asked a similar question, and I'm going, I'm like here because I really don't know if that's my answer. And I'm like, oh yeah, right. I better make up my mind what I want to do one way or the other. So, okay, close your eyes for me. If you have a goal, just think of one. Because you can't play with me.
I'm going to have a drink of water because my throat gets dry in this weather.
What I want you to do is I want you to just think about what you want. And then I want you to pick a number between 1 and 7. Between 1 and 7. First number that comes to your mind, don't change it. And then I'll take a breath, open your eyes, and be here.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about the symbol, the first 7 of the Higher Arcana, which relates to your material world.
And then I'm going to ask who has it. Arms up high, so I can see you. And then I'll check your auras to see if I need to add any more than what I said, okay? So the first one, please, Lynn.
No, next one, Mom. It's number 0.
There we go, number 1. The magician, excuse me. The magician is the beginning.
He's number 1. And if you look, you'll see the first thing to me that sticks out today is the red roses at the top of the symbol, right? The red roses of desire. At the bottom, there are white lilies and red roses. The red roses of desire, white lilies of aspiration, when you put them together, it means white lilies of pure thought. When you put them together, they make aspiration. So he's aspiring above. Now, as he's a magician, he's got his wand, and he's got it raised really, really high. But his hand is pointing like this, below, saying, as above, so below. So we aspire above to manifest into the world that which is above, or as we know more now, out there somewhere. He's got a lot of symbology in him. He's got a snake around his waist, but the tail is in his mouth. In tarot symbology, whenever we have an animal or anything that has its tail in its mouth, it means it's under command. Snakes are knowledge, so he has his knowledge. He's well in command of his knowledge. On his table, he has his things he's going to work with, and that is the wand, the cup, the sword, and the pentacle, life. So he's working with his life. It means to me all things are possible because he has everything that he wants. Now, very often when people first start reading this, they see this, and because they know it's all things are possible. By the way, I need to teach my students to remember some short phrase or a word around each symbol because we want the symbol to talk to you. We want you to read the symbol, not read from here. Your mind, that is. So he's saying all things are possible, but it doesn't mean it's successful.
Because there's something that's missing from here yet, which is action. Now, I want to know if anybody picked the number 1. Great. Thank you. There's not too much disappearance in your auras to make me add too much more on, which makes it real fun, right?
Basically, I would say here is that
it looks like you're ready to sort of step forward, but I feel a little bit of hesitancy. I just want to know if that's correct. It's like, yes, I really want to go, but... right? So I'm just going to suggest get on the boat, go across the water. Because that's what it is often. When we start something new, we have that no man's land. And I see it often in readings. And I say, you know, you're going to step on the boat, and it's going to cross the river, and you've got to step off the other side. So it's that we always want an absolute, and I've run into that a lot. People want to shift something from here to there in a breath. But getting it takes time. So I just want to pat you on the back and say, no, this says that it's possible, so let's go for it, okay? Number 2, please. Number 2, which is coming out, is our High Priestess. So I'm going to tell you the 2 elements. As a spiritual journey,
We're not going through. We're going backwards. Let's go backwards. As a spiritual journey, this is about, because in the magician, you recognize there was a force that you can use. Here, you choose whether you're going to work with that force or not. Okay? Some people get confronted with this many times before they actually make the commitment to choose to work with it. The symbolism in here is very much male-female, all around balance. The high priestess sits in front of a veil, which is pomegranates and palm trees, which is male and female. We have the two pillars, Boaz and Jacob, two characters from the Bible. She sits with the full moon and the two quarters on her headdress, her four equal cross on the chest, meaning all seasons, all aspects of the world. And in her hand, she holds a scroll saying Torah. Or Rota, some people call it, look at it that way too, but it's Torah, which is the law. And this has a lot of Jewish symbolism, which is the law. You must understand the law that is there. If you study the Kabbalah, you would understand the whole lot of the laws that go with that as well. If you're Jewish, I've seen the Book of Laws, it's big. Now, when I was doing comparative religions, it's like, whoa, look at that. If you lived according to all these rules, you'd probably be having a really good life. But who does, you know? But hooked into her cloak, like a gown, is this crescent moon. Now, tarot has three types of light symbolism within it. And the moon represents reflected light. It's not a strong light. It tends to be more of an emotional light. Often people talk about, oh, it's psychic. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It can be emotional. It also sits on the side where on the left side of her, which is more, tends to be what we call the feminine side, the more emotional side anyway. And of course, the scroll, which is more you have to read to understand, is more on the right side. But if you look at the pillars, they're kind of turned around. You know, it's like the light, the emotional, which we tend to equate with dark. Is in the light, because we're balancing everything. We're balancing. But to me, what I see mostly is the choice we have. And also the exciting part of this is behind it is the river of life. Because when you choose to walk a spiritual journey, when you choose to really come to understand how we're connected to the source of being, we have to make that choice and decide the journey we're going to go on. My good friend Trish is here. Her and I spend quite a bit of time together going to movies, and we talk. And we have traveled two very different roads in our lives to get to the same place. And that's what I love. It's like listening to her sometimes go, wow. Because my choice was to go, because of what was presented in front of me, my road was very different. What was presented to her was very different from mine. But at the same point, we both made a choice to go and learn. We both made a choice to study with teachers, to study how and what, so that we could become more, whatever that might look like. Now, anybody here pick number two? Okay, all that would mean is that you need to decide you're going to do it. You know how many people sit on the fence, right? So I'm glad none of you are fence sitters. That's great. Number three. By the way, I really appreciate Lynn doing this, because Lynn did this on an unveiled version. I was going to have cards. I'm still back a little bit in the last century, right? Now, well, decade maybe. The Empress. Now, when you go to decide that you want to do your spiritual journey, the first thing you're going to learn about or encounter is what we call the law of love. How many of us gone places and the people, I remember in the early days, back in the 60s, 70s, you know, get in touch with your heart, get in touch with your heart. What are they talking about? So, now, when I'm talking about this symbol, And if you look on it, there's so much around love. I mean, this Venus sign is all over the place. Even the flowers on her dress is Venus. That she's sitting on the ripened wheat. The river, abundant river, comes pouring in. There's all sorts of other symbolism. But she represents the love that is all over the earth and the universe. What I discovered through the years, and what I teach now, is love is acceptance and forgiveness. Because you must open your heart to forgive. But you don't forgive until you totally, 100% accept. That's the kicker. We always want it our way. I want it my way. Why isn't it my... Oh yes, I really have accepted this. But I really think that if I just wait a little longer, it'll change. I did that for a number of years in a relationship. I knew better, but you know, life does not change. Because I didn't accept 100%. It was as it was. So this is love. And anybody pick number three? Great, because the first thing I want to say to you is that the answer is yes to whatever it was you picked that you wanted. It's a yes, because this key to this symbol is abundance. It's there. We all love to see it when it comes up in our readings. Never enough, but it's there, full force. Now, let me see your hands up high because I'm going to check your auras against it, please. I'm going to come to the lady with the green shirt right there, the sandy colored hair and gold. I have to start with a question just because I want to make sure we're on, because language is interesting, using a certain amount of language. So I want to use, just ask you a question. Have you found sometimes in your life you haven't let things in when they're right there? Have you been aware of that at all?
Yes.
Okay. This is one of those times when you want something, and I just want to say to you, is to relax and let it in. Because I feel it's there, but there's no way for it to get in. So suddenly we have to look at what door do we have to open? What is it we have to let go of? What is it that's stopping us to allow that? Yeah, just let it in, because it's definitely there. And the gentleman in the yellow, quit worrying. Do you worry about things? No, not too much. What about this thing you might be? Because that's what I pick up on, that energy of that one. I'm just going to branch off from it. How many people here know that they worry? Yeah, so you're not alone at the moment, right? I know I had a situation recently where I could be really, really worried about it. And I went, you know, what's the use? It is as it is. And I was able to switch that worry program fairly quickly and easily. And every now and again, it would sort of raise its head. You know, it's like a little demon coming in. And I say, forget it. It is as it is, and we'll do what we can do, and we'll see how it unfolds. Because we do tend to worry. And we'll talk more about that in the next symbol, which is number four, the wonderful emperor that goes with the empress. Except, but look at him. Does he look happy? See, an interesting thing is, when we're looking at this as a spiritual step, when we encounter love, and I must admit, this has happened to me, when I came in contact with that loving force and embraced it for myself, it's like Christians call it being born again, it's like you feel it and you know it. Luckily, I didn't do this. I did something else, but anyway. Luckily, I didn't do this, but a lot of people do. Because they figure that's it. If this is only number, you were only at number 3 of 22. But they think, this is it. So guess what? They stop. The key to this symbol that I've given to it is experience. Because what happens with this man is you look at him, and I always say too, as you get older, by the way, you cannot get up from a chair with both your hands full. Only if you're a yoga teacher or something. You just cannot do it. Although we're very clever doing that, because I've tried, I can't do it. So I am too up from getting better. But it's like, you know, so here he is. Now
he's also a procrastinator, and I'm going to come back to that.
He's got all this experience. He's got all, his river of life is so little now. He's got these big hills behind him. Oh, my goodness.
And he's a doubter because he's lost the glow. He's lost that beautiful glamour that we get when we know that there is a force that resides inside of us. Lynn did a beautiful job talking about God's spark. It really woke me up the other night when she was talking about a meditation and she got to see God's spark. We all have that. But if we forget it and we get cynical,
I remember
a number of years ago starting to be very, I'm going to use the word negative in my thinking, and I was like this guy and I knew it, right? So I want to see how this looks like, because I thought, I'm thinking like an old person, at least the old people that I knew, right? Well, it lasted 4 days. I couldn't handle it. It was horrible. Nothing's right. Nothing looks good. Can't happen. Forget. And I just said, I can't live like this. How do people live like this? But this symbol comes out when you doubt the outcome. So did anybody get number four? I'm probably going a little bit hard to try and drum some points home.
Because I'm going to back up for a minute too, because this is a procrastinating symbol.
How many here procrastinate? Most of you worry as will. Okay? We procrastinate mainly because of two ways. One is because you have the internal going on in your head and you can't do it. On the other one is when you look, you get far-sighted, and when you look out, you see all the things that could go wrong, and so you don't do it because of that. But I don't want to spend more time talking about that one. So fours, please put your hand up. So you don't. The three of you? Okay. I'm going to come to you, Barbara, because you're here for the first time. You came because, honestly, I'm going to talk a little bit to you about belief. And it's what I see here, whatever your goal is, because I don't know what it is. I'm going to say to explore what you really believe and what you're willing to take in and say, this is what I want to stand on. This is what I choose. This is what I want it to be. I think there's a lot of situations around this thing, like a lot of stuff, but you've got to stand in your own integrity and your own want. Does that make sense to you? Oh, good. So because then you'll find you're not going to be so caught up and tied up in everything else and you won't procrastinate. You'll do what needs to be done and it'll get you to where you want to go. Okay? The rest of you, get off your desk to do something. That's what it means.
Okay, number five, the Hierophant. Remember the British,
this is made in Britain, so the British left the Catholic Church. They didn't, they can't call it the Pope, which is the early symbology did. The Hierophant is a spiritual teacher. And some of you will remember who were here at Christmas time, and I got the star, and I said, yes, that's because I live like that. And it wasn't about the star quality, it was about what the star represents to me. And I spent my life with that energy. And this is the outward manifestation of the star. Star is number 17. So you see it's a long way further down. So in here, what the Hierophant is doing, not only is he blessing with his, but he's also got two prelates in front of him. One is decked out in the roses, remember from the first symbol. One is decked out in the lilies. They're aspiring for the knowledge of the keys that he has at his feet. And that's what we do, those of us that teach you things, that share our knowledge, is we're trusting we give you the keys to understand what you need to do with your lives to make them better. So sometimes it's not as, do not do as I do, but do as I say. Works much better because we are still on it now. All the teachers that you ever have, we're still on our own journeys and we're not perfect. I say, oh my sister, do not put me on a pedestal. I will fall off, guaranteed, because I will say something or do something, and that for sure. But that is the the outward manifestation of the star, taking that inner beauty, taking that knowledge, because there it is still growing, and manifesting it externally to people who are committed to learn those things that all the symbology contains.
What is the meaning of
Of the Hierophant? It's like the Pope. Oh. It's a spiritual teacher.
Oh, I see.
Spiritual teacher. So who had number five? Yeah, usually there's a number that had number five. What number five basically means is you need more knowledge. Somewhere, or time. Sometimes you need time, too, and when we do this kind of demonstration. But it's like you need more knowledge, primarily. So let me see your hands again. Okay, Maxine, I'm going to come to you, and then I'll come back. You're okay there? You're good. Just take what the basic meaning is. Whoops, I've got to put my scarf back over there. Now.
Throwaway gesture.
Maxine, my dear. What I see here with this is that you have a lot of, well, I'm going to call it piecemeal bits of information, and it's like they need to come together. And it's like when we're looking at your goal, it's like you're looking at it and you're saying, well, maybe I can use this piece or that piece. And I'm saying, put it together. Get it all, or the one allness, and then you can proceed further. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good, I'm glad, because that's how I saw it. And I'm just going to come to you for a second and just say, believe in you. It's like you have everything there. It's not quite the time. Wait, be patient, but no, it's okay. All right? Okay, we're going to go to number six. One of my favorites. Number six is the lovers. This is where I get to look at naked people. Star is another one that has a naked person in it too. So, in the lovers, you have the man in front of the tree of life looking at the woman in front of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, of course, like Christian mythology, but more than that. And then she is looking up towards the archangel who's blessing them, and the sun, the source, is behind. Remember I said there were three forms of light? The sun is the strongest, the star stands in its own light, and the moon is reflected. Now, the interesting thing is, two interesting things if I was teaching this in a title class, is the purple robe that is around the archangel. That ends up showing up in the 21st symbol, the world, which when everything comes together. But here, see these clouds in the middle? This is what's really important in this symbol, is this. These clouds and this thing here. See, what a lot of people don't realize, to get to the source, you must go through the subconscious. We don't talk about that. I just realized the other day, we don't talk about that anymore. There were, in the early 80s, everything was subconscious, subconscious, subconscious. Man, I went after my subconscious with absolute, what would you call it, vigor. If the key landed in the subconscious, I'm going to get it. And then one day I woke up and realized I have a fairly clear subconscious, but my consciousness was like a pea. I mean, I was tiny, because I hadn't worked out that part. You must have a balance. You must have your consciousness, but you must clean up that subconscious. Must. It's important. And that's being missed. I realized I'm not hearing people talk about the subconscious, unconscious, whatever you want, name you want to use it. In all my, I studied to be a minister for 8 years of study, metaphysical study, and we talked about the unconscious. Same thing. So what's happening in your subconscious is what often is creating what the key idea of this symbol, confusion and indecision. After all, put a man in front of a naked woman. What's he going to do? Confusion and indecision. Should I or shouldn't I? I was watching a movie yesterday afternoon where that came up. The guy was being offered the goods and he was committed somewhere else, but he had to think. And the way they made the movie, you thought he went with the gal and he didn't. but the way they shot it was really fun. Confusion and indecision. So who had number sixes? A lot of you.
Oh my goodness, this is cute.
Okay. I pretty much talked about it anyway. This means the goal is, you haven't decided. It's something you want. You see, what I'm doing a course on Saturday morning, and it's on Skype, and I'm so excited. You know why? I have a person from Toronto and a person from New Zealand already booked in to take it, and two people from here that want to come in person. That's international, guys. So anyway, the first thing, if you want to create something, you must decide it's going to be. It's not will it. Oh, if God wills it, it'll be here. Oh, if it shows up, it'll be here. You've got to decide. You've got to put some energy on that. You've got to know, no matter what, that thing's going to show up. When we were being taught how to create, we were told, how do you train a dog? Do you go, oh, please come here? I guess the dog would listen for 2 seconds. But what I'm getting at is that combination of energy that comes in and you get direct. I have a whole exercise about that, which is fun, which I do in my abundance classes. But anyway, it's around learning how to do that, to get direct. So let me see your hand for your sixes, because you need to be more decisive. It just tells me, and I know. I say pick a goal. Who knows in the moment? Oh, I'm not really good. Yes, I'm good. Okay, I think I know where I'm going. Now, so let me come to you. Oh, that's fine, don't you? As I said, when you pick a goal here, you just go, what? And you pick something that maybe not be super. So I'm going to ask you a question first. Is this goal very important to you that you picked today?
Yes.
It is, okay? Then, what I would say to you is that you need to get very, very clear on your actual outcome that you want. So that it's so clear, you know, that's the second secret, you know that it's real. Because it's too wishy-washy when I look at it. It's too wishy-washy, it's not strong. Does that make sense to you? So you need to get clear so you know it's there, so that means you can decide it's, yes, I can have that. I can have it. Talk to me about it later. Someone else over here. Oh, okay. Sure, man. The only thing I see here with the goal, too, is that sometimes you let all the outside stuff, and then it gets confusing because you're not sure how. Again, when I'm teaching about the goal setting, all you need to know is your end result and the first step. You don't have to know the middle. That'll take care of itself because you go step by step. That'll take a lot of that confusion away. Trying to figure out, how do I deal with that? What do I do with this? What do we get all that mental stuff in there? Okay. Seven. Last but not least in this row. Look at the chariot. Now, I just want to go back to the spiritual journey here. Because he's the last one, and he's leaving what he's attained behind him. See his study behind him? He's in his chariot. He's got the wand of will and authority. So he's claimed some will and authority. He's protected by the canopy. He's also crowned with the star. Remember what I said about the star? You shine, stand in your own light. You stand in your own strength. He's for a little square on his chest. First stage of initiation. I remember years ago being woken up and asleep and being told, you've passed your first level of initiation, and I, what the hell? Unbelievable. I was taught at night and for years. I was like, what? I was really two little babies, not knowing what was going on. But I do know now. We have stages that we move through, hopefully all the way. Again, the balancing in the front. I get this name of this one is drive, but I want to go over the spiritual journey first before I come to who's got this number, is because let's think it, and all things are possible, you recognize there's a force. You choose to come together with that force, you know, you make a choice to learn, to grow. and you learn about love. If you don't get stuck at the improv, because people do get stuck, and we've all done that, even when we're on a journey, you will come to the Hierophant, you will find a teacher. And that's the one thing, too, with Skype's help, because at least you get a little bit of front on front. People buy my books, my programs, and other things over the years, but there's nothing like a personal teacher. Because, as Sherry here knows, sometimes I'll say, hold it, that's straighten that up a little bit, or do this or do that. And if you're not there, you do not know. That teacher is so important. It doesn't mean you always have to have a teacher. Doesn't mean you don't read any books or listen to CDs. No, it doesn't mean that. It means at some point you will go under a teacher to teach you to find points that we don't put in the books. Because it's really hard to explain a feeling. Christina here comes faithfully when she's not falling over and blinking her eye to my Wednesday night meditation groups. She knows that there are times when I'm, you know, get with it, people. But I'm gentle there because they're just there. So, what does the Hierophant teach you? He teaches you the lovers. He teaches you all about you. And when you're ready, that might take a month, it might take 10 years, it might take whatever. But when you're ready, you leave behind the old to step forward, to take the principles of what you have been taught to put out into the world, which is the next step, which I'm not doing. Aren't you? Now, who got seven? Anybody? A lot of you. Okay. So basically, let me say, first of all, what it means, letting go of the past and stepping into the future, knowing that you have everything that you require. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be there to go forward. That makes sense? So let me see the hands of sevens again. Okay. Okay. Most of it applies. I'm going to come to you. That's all right. Have you had a lot of changes in your life?
Yes.
Yeah, so are you ready for this next one a little bit?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because I just want to say, don't worry about it. Like, be more present. You understand? Do you know what I mean by being more present? Like, don't worry in your head. Like, enjoy the process. Be a little bit more joyful. Because I'll make it easier. Yeah, smile a bit more. It'll make it easier. Because there's a little worry around you. And we don't want to worry. It doesn't help. I'm going to come to you, my love. Whoops. See? Even my scarf wants to go find you. All I want to say is that for you, because you know so much about this anyway, but as you know, in letting go, it makes space for something new. And I'm going to draw you to, if we had number eight, you would have number eight, but we didn't. But you have the strength and you have the ability to deal, to handle, to put it in perspective and move forward really well. It feels gentle, feels easy, but just realize it's maybe you meditate at eight and get that strength. Make sense? Well, how did you enjoy that?
What is the symbology of the wings with the
horse? Oh, it's the healing wings. This is all about the healing wings. It's an ancient symbolism, actually. I think it's more Hindu, actually. Hindu descent. But it's bringing everything together, and then the bolt is the union between male and female. Again, so it's like it's all encompassing. Great. Well, I hope you go away and leave with some awareness and knowledge of where you are today and what's going to take forth. I just want to mention a couple of things. I've got a very busy week, but I'm going to mention that, and I have flyers at the back. Tuesday night, I'm doing a 3-hour workshop on clearing the energy from your memories. I always have a Wednesday night group. And then on Saturday, as I said, I'm having this manifesting your goal. And at the end of the month, a Tuesday night, I'm starting an 8-week course on the tarot. I just want to say, for anybody who is a member of the society here, for the Tuesday night, you get
You get 5 minutes out, it's $35 course, you get it for $30. But the tarot course, you get $50 off because it's much more expensive. So if you come here, you'd like to learn more about the tarot and how it can apply to you. It's $50 off. A couple here have taken it before. It's half price, so, but you need to be a member, okay? I appreciate you listening to me. Thank you for being here. And thanks.